Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
And there you are hearing the infamous kicker speakers that Mikey brought here to ACB 2009. Very cool technology, great $250 investment. If you like music with some good bass and kind of like it loud or soft, doesn't have to be loud, but the volume is there if you need it. And definitely wanted to show you that. Also, very cool here, a product that kind of got put on the back burner because of the iPhone, is this new. It is called a Wind Top. It's made by MSI. It's a very cool technology. It is, it's an 18-inch display. Basically, the screen and the computer is all one piece. Very similar to Macintosh's iMac, if you've seen something like that. It's the closest, not exact, but the closest way that I can describe it. But you got an 18-inch display, and unlike the traditional netbooks, you have a dual-core processor, the latest Atom chip, and 4 gig of RAM, 250 gigabyte hard drive, and of course all the USB ports, Wi-Fi, and everything else that you can imagine. One more listen to the kickers, hear how good they sound. There you go. Great for all those blind folks. Song about taking pictures, which many people are doing actually on their iPhones and 82s and everything else. But it's a shot anyway. You can't get 100% replication, but a good idea what speakers may sound like by putting a hopefully halfway decent microphone in front of them to get the feel of that. But it is Tuesday right now as we record this, and we're getting ready to post the podcast. Well, we thought we would make this nice little intro. I would definitely look at one of these MSI Wind Tops if you are partially sighted, because trying to do screen enlargement on a netbook is a challenge. I mean, you got a 10-inch screen, which is already small by design, but if you have limited vision and want something that is portable, the whole unit sits on top of your desk. It is not battery-powered, obviously, like a netbook, but for a stationary, and it's not that heavy, so certainly if you had a nice case, you could unplug it, pick it up, and take it with you and be okay. But for an all-in-one unit, it is very nice. And if you happen to listen to this before the end of the convention, we're selling it for $699, which includes a copy of System Access. Or likewise, we're selling the MSI Wind netbook with the copy of System Access for $399. So either way, got some really good deals here, so come by and check it out. And thank you for listening to the podcast. George Frasek, a penny for your thoughts. That's probably better than our 2 cents that we ask for all the time on Serotalk. What are you exhibiting here, George? This is a way for identifying or labeling currency, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And what do you call it?
I just called my system for making currency visible by touch.
Okay, and how does it work?
Basically, when somebody is handed a bill, there's 8 possibilities for a bill to be handed to another person. Stop and think about it. It could be right side up. It could be upside down. You could get a long side or a short side. So the first thing that I do with my system is I orient the bill so that it's the American icon is facing front and is right side up. The second thing I do is there's a denominational punch. Both of these are punches, by the way. The first punch is in the upper left-hand corner of the bill, and so that way you can orient the bill by just feeling around the edge of the bill. The second punch is a denominational punch, and across the top from left to right is the 1, 5, and 10, and across the bottom from left to right is the 20, 50, and 100. Since we still have $2 bills that we can go and get at a bank, the $2 bill is marked on the short left side right below the initial punch. That's pretty much the system. Using it is simple because all you have to do is find that orientation punch first, and then from there run your fingers along the top and bottom edge of the bill to find the denomination punch.
Okay.
I can give any bill to any person who can't see, and but just by knowing the system, they'll be able to identify it. And I've gotten a great response so far. From day one, I talked to 70 people, and I got 70 great responses. Everybody thinks that they can use the system.
All right, George. I hope many people come by and give you great feedback on that.
Well, thank you much.
All right, thank you. Speaking with Phil Tate from, what's this, Campbell Company? Campbell Company. And what are you exhibiting here?
I'm exhibiting accessible pedestrian signals.
Okay, so for crossing the streets or other uses as well? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Primarily, the accessible pedestrian signal is a signal for blind or low vision pedestrians that allows them to understand the state of the pedestrian signal.
How do these work? When someone comes up and they push a button to activate these, or these are on a constant rotation? How do these particular units work?
Well, they could be on a constant rotation, but primarily we focus on pedestrian-actuated intersections. You have a locator tone that tells a pedestrian, one, I'm equipped with APS, and two, here I am, come find me. When the pedestrian presses the push button, they get acknowledgement, which in our case is wait. And if they hold the push button for greater than 1 second, they'll get information such as wait to cross Main Street at First Street, pedestrian station on Median in Center. And that's the location message. When the walk light comes up for the pedestrian, a couple of things happen. You get a audible walk message. It can be verbal or it can be tones depending on the intersection. And you get a vibrotactile signal at the push button itself. When the walk light goes dormant and it goes back to a flashing don't walk, you can have a clearance phase tone, or you'll revert back to the locator tone.
Do those run 24 hours a day, or do you have to disable
them
at night?
Oh, they run 24 hours a day, although
So the tone is low enough, right? I mean, I know there's always been an issue of neighbors who live right in the immediate vicinity of these may be complaining, but that tone sounds low enough just so they know when they get to the crossing that it is there.
Correct. That is always the issue, having the tone in a neighborhood at night. Very understandable. We have a time function that allows us to quiet the tone down as low as possible during a set time, typically, you know, from about 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock or 6 a.m.
Right.
And that will appease the neighborhood and still allow some audible messaging for the low-vision pedestrian.
Basically, communities, when municipalities would come to you and purchase this, it's not something consumers would do, and then...
Well, let me tell you how it typically works.
Okay.
Usually, the consumer is going to go to their representative, whether it's the mayor or the Department of Transportation, or their representative could be the advocacy group that they're working with in their area, and they're going to say, hey, I'd like to get to the pharmacy, and I can't get across this busy intersection. It's very difficult. And that may be due to hybrid cars or right turns or whatever the configuration of the intersection. That representative will go to the agency who's responsible and make a request. And then that agency will typically do an engineering study to verify that it's required. And if it's requested, typically there's a number of opportunities for them to go ahead and put in an accessible pedestrian signal. They'll put it out for bid, and then our distributors will provide it to contractors who will go and install it in the vicinity where they are.
Now, does this alter the light configuration?
No.
No, it just lets people know of the status.
That's correct.
Okay.
We just tell the low-vision pedestrian the status of the existing display, whether it's in a don't walk, flashing don't walk, or a walk state.
Right, because those are generally computer-controlled for the whole city. So
that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what would the cost of this, someone wanting to advocate for this, having some idea of what their community is going to need to come up with? Or you said contracts, so I guess all things are negotiable to some extent. But what generally are we talking about?
You know, we tell people to typically budget about $600 per PED station. So a PED station is the display. So for every crossing, there will be two pedestrian stations. And a typical crossing will have 8 head stations on it, although not each and every one of them has to be equipped with APS.
And what is the website? How do people contact you to get more information about the company and these products?
Very good. PedSafety.com, PedSafety.com, and look for the accessible pedestrian signals tab on the web page, and that should give you some information about our products and some links on other websites that allow you to go in and learn more information about accessible pedestrian signals.
Very good. PedSafety.com. Phil Tate with the Campbell Company. Thanks a lot for taking a few minutes out.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Caught up with Gareth Collins from Dolphin Access. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
No problem.
Now, of course, you're known, I assume, for the HAL and Lunar products.
That's correct.
But you're getting into some new arenas. You're diversifying yourself, it looks like. So why don't you talk about some of the new technologies that you're working with these days?
Yes, I suppose Dolphin are best known for Supernova, HAL and Lunar, our screen access products. But also in the past few years, we've been diversifying into the Arena Revolt format. We have Easy Reader, which is our DAISY playback software. We have Easy Producer, which is a plugin for Microsoft Word that converts any document you load into Microsoft Word into DAISY format. And we have an all-encompassing program called Easy Converter that will take a something from a scanner or a PDF document, a Word document, a NIMAS document, HTML document, rich text format, any of those type of documents, and convert it either into Braille, MP3, DAISY, large print, or plain text. We also have another piece of software called Easy Tutor that is aimed at print impairment, people with dyslexia, that type of thing. Easy Tutor is a reading and writing assistant toolbar. So that you can, for instance, point to a paragraph with a mouse pointer on a web page and have that paragraph read to you. It also helps you with spelling and grammar when you're reading in Microsoft Word, etc. And the last thing that we've just added to Dolphin's portfolio is a piece of software called Guide, which is mainly aimed at seniors and new people to computers, new people to the Windows environment. I like to think of Guide as a replacement for your Windows desktop. So you don't need Internet Explorer or
Firefox.
Those type of things, or Microsoft Word. It has its own inbuilt email client and word processor and news feeds and web browsing. And it also can use Skype for voice over IP, so it uses Skype features. There's about 20 different programs, calculator, all that type of thing. I believe simple accounting software in there. So, yeah, it's mainly aimed at people who are new to assistive technology.
Right, new computer users,
exactly.
All under one umbrella, all the
exactly.
apps.
Okay, exactly.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we did speak with them, I believe, at ATIA. The original, the EVAS.
Yes.
You're now...
EVAS are one of our major distributors of the Guide within the United States. Basically, everything on the East Coast, all the states on the East Coast, that's where they sell and support the software.
Okay, I think one of the biggest things would be your support now, you know, working with Motorola and the screen reader for the phone, right?
Yes, we've also partnered with Nuance to help them develop a Windows Mobile version of their Torx for Symbian phones. So we're helping them develop the Windows Mobile version, and currently Torx is being bundled on the Motorola Q9C phone from Verizon. I believe in a couple of weeks' time, Verizon will have it on a new phone. I think it was codename HTC Cedar, but I believe it's going to be called the Verizon XV6175, which is a world phone, so it works on CDMA and GSM networks.
Oh, nice.
And it's got a QWERTY keyboard. It's about the size of the Samsung Blackjack stroke Motorola Q9C.
Okay, I know a lot of people have been asking me to find out when these might be available for a broader variety of phones. Is that something that you can answer?
Basically, I believe once the new Verizon phone is released, then there's going to start like a beta process. New ones are going to start a beta process to make it available for more phones. So they're going to be looking out for people with Windows Mobile phones, different ones, to actually test the software on those devices. Yes.
So it's kind of a hybrid of both technologies. You're right. Your Smart HAL and then the talks.
Yeah, the kind of the I think the core engine of it. It was kind of like taken from Smart HAL, but basically has the Torx user interface, the Torx hotkeys, and all the new features that are going to be put in the product are all kind of nuanced features. So it's going to become more and more closer to the Symbian version of Nuance.
Okay.
Of Torx.
So for all of our new users, what kind of price point are we talking about for something like Guide?
Guide, I believe, is $795. There's also a version which is slightly more expensive. I can't think of the price off the top of my head, okay. Which is Guide Hands Free, which includes the Dragon Naturally Speaking engine in it, so that you can actually control the software with your voice.
So that would be your Windows XP Vista?
Windows XP Vista. Yeah,
are exactly. We Windows 7 ready yet, or working on that?
I don't think we've tested it. I know our screen reading products are Windows 7 ready. So.
Okay.
And I would imagine Guide probably could work on Windows 7 as well.
Okay, very good. Why don't you give the contact information? People can read more about these products.
Okay, so Dolphin's website is www.yourdolphin.com, which is yourdolphin.com. You can also call our sales department directly, 609-803-2171. That's 609-803-2171.
All right, Gareth Collins with Dolphin.
I'm Jane Karp, Library Program Administrator for the Florida Bureau of Braille and Talking Book Library Services.
Well, thanks, Jane. I know a lot of people are excited. You probably have a lot of things going on, but I know the new digital talking book players are certainly of interest to a lot of people.
Exactly. We have 544 testers. There's 100 advanced players being tested, and the rest are all the standard player.
And then how many books? You only have like 54 books or something right
Well,
now?
They recalled one title, so now there's only 53 books, and there's only 37 copies of those.
Oh, wow. So so does each state, right, do they have their own supply?
Well, right now, because there's 9 test libraries, and I think the test is going to run another few weeks. And each of us has the same number of players, the same 544 players, and the same number of digital books at this moment in time until the new books start rolling in.
What is the projected rollout period? I understand veterans make it first priority.
Veterans, in Florida, veterans are already signed up, and then it'll be people who are in we'll call the 10 squared club, 100 and up. And we have 404 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I didn't either until I looked it up.
So it is a possibility to live that long.
It is.
We were just talking today about after 75.
Now you have to shoot for 115, I guess.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh.
So how would it users, would it benefit them to go ahead and try to get signed up so that maybe they'd be one of the first to receive when they start rolling them out to the masses?
In reality, since we have about 3,000 veterans, the first 2 months of rollout will all go to veterans and those over 100. So realistically, that would be August and September. So starting in October, other people, as they get signed up, could start receiving them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, well, they can only make so many. So someone said it might be the summer of 2010 before every interested patron can receive one. Is that the time?
Not in Florida.
Not in Florida.
No, we have more customers than anybody else. So with Florida, we're hoping by 2012 all of the active customers will have a player, and the others may take as long as 2013.
So those who contact the library and say that they want one, are they going to get any priority over?
No.
No, not
it's
really.
It's just as a call and sign up.
Okay, I just didn't know if that would help. You know, how they, and what's the difference between the, I mean, we know the standard and the advanced players. Do they make an equal number, or do they make more of the
standard?
No. Or how does that work?
No, right now we don't know exactly what they say in their projections is they're going to make 20 advanced players for every 80 standard. But because in the test we found that there's so many more people who want the advanced players, they're looking at that split now to see if they can actually produce more of the advanced and a few less of the standard. So it looks like it might, you know, hopefully we would like, you know, 40-60. That would be very nice at the very least. But, you know, we get what we get. Realistically, there'll be more people on a waiting list for an advanced player because there'll be so many fewer of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought would probably happen. That's why I was asking if there's a benefit in go ahead and registering now. Or
yes, there is.
Right.
Yeah, it won't change, you know, how we get them. It's just how long. I think the advanced list may be a little bit longer. And then if somebody really... basically, if you're a nonfiction reader... And then definitely you should get the advanced player because the digital markup features are in all nonfiction books. But it's not available in all of fiction. So if you have a book that was originally recorded in digital in, say, 2004, it will have no digital markup. So as soon as you press the advanced key, you're at the end of the book, whether you want it to be or not. So you have to go back to the beginning, literally, and start from scratch, and then just use the regular reverse and fast-forward keys to go through it.
Yeah, it was my concern that obviously there are certain people that basic level is going to be more than adequate, but
yes,
that a lot of people might end up with the basic one and really need the advanced.
Exactly. And one of the reasons why they need to call their reader advisor, literally, who can help guide them through that choice is because they'll know they can go through the kinds of, you know, reading choices that they make and preferences that they want. Then it will help them so that maybe it is worth it to sign up for the advanced player. And for the basic reader who basically uses the easy machine now, definitely the standard player would be a better choice.
And what about the rollout for the magazines? I love that Consumer Reports and I think Sound and Vision. And when will those be available?
If they are downloadable, then they'll stay. That'll be their only digital format. Right now, just getting all of the digital books out is all that's been discussed. I know that in Florida we have literally 12 studios that are recording magazines in digital format. But because of the cost to produce them in digital format, they're going to stay on cassette for many years.
Oh, because of the cartridges, the actual digital media to transport them.
Exactly.
So people will really need to own the Victor and be able to use a computer or something to get...
Except for the ones that are locally produced like ours, which aren't downloadable yet. So
you have some state magazines that are unique to your libraries?
We have 65 of them.
Really?
Yes.
Like what kind of things?
For the Spanish ones, it would be Buena Vida, National Geographic en Español. We do Kiplinger's, Martha Stewart. So we actually have quite a large variety that we record and produce here. So until every single customer has a digital player, we can't even consider moving our magazines to digital.
Understandable.
Because they have a huge following because they're the only way that a lot of our customers could ever read a magazine.
Yeah, I didn't know if they had a way where they would send you the cartridge for the magazine and you'd send the cartridge back and they'd put a new magazine on it, or it'd be too much trouble, or how they're...
In the long term, that's exactly what we will do, but until every customer has a digital player, we won't consider it. It's just not... And hopefully the cost will go down. And the other thing that we're looking at, you know, we're concerned about the availability of the four-sided cassette. So far, two companies have gone out of business. So there's only two left. So the availability of cassettes is also a big concern for us at this point.
So I guess anyone listening, if you have an old four-track player, to give it back to your library. It has to go back to the respective state, but there's probably a demand for those if you're using a Victor or something and you don't need that, or even have one of the new players shortly that hopefully you'll get back your four-track units, and so they can recycle them for a while and make the transition.
Exactly, unless you're a magazine reader, and then that's the only way you're ever going to ever read a lot of magazines at this point.
But I figure with the, you know, thousands of owners of the Victor, and certainly that's not the only device, you've got the Icon and other ways to listen to NLS books, that hopefully those users can return their four-track players, because they can get the magazines online as I do.
Well,
I'm going to go home and return my four-track that's just sitting in the closet.
Well, obviously you don't want to read any of the older collection. Well, because they aren't...
Right, I mean, if there's about 10,000 online, and I got Audible, and RFB&D, and NLS, and I have a wealth of... I have more reading material than I have time for, so...
Yeah, see...
But I certainly do that and share that with others.
Exactly.
How would people... They just need to contact their libraries or a central state number of someone listening to this. Maybe it's not even...
They would need
in
to
the
contact
program.
Their regional library.
Is there any central number that people call in Florida and find out which library is local to them if they're not even in the program as of now?
Oh, absolutely. They can call our regional library. The number is 1-800-226-6075 and just ask to be signed up.
Okay, Jane Karp with the longest title I've seen here at the convention. Well, thank you very much.
And my pleasure.
All right. Live from ACB 2009, this is Michael Loff for Serotalk. My name is Michael Loff. I am with Serotech Corporation, and we make System Access screen reader. We have the System Access mobile network known as SAMNet. Two other things we do, a remote incident manager, that's for corporate folks to be able to assist blind and sighted people. And we have accessible event, allowing university students and people in the corporate and government environment to be able to attend webinars like everyone else. But let me ask a couple questions, and this will help me maybe where to direct my presentation today. So just say aye to any of the following questions. A, how many of you are active computer users? About everyone, okay. And how many of you own portable devices, like let's say the Victor?
Aye, okay.
And what about something like the Icon? Okay. Well, what we do at Serotech, and I want to be diplomatic, we take a slightly different approach. You know, something like the Icon is a great product, and we encourage people to use whatever technology meets their needs, because that's what it's about. At the end of the day, you want to use what's going to work for you. We work on the premise of trying to give people equal access to what our sighted counterparts are using. And to that end, I'll just quickly mention our two specials that we have here. Is a netbook computer. Do any of you have netbooks?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a netbook computer, which for those who don't know, is a very small laptop. Okay. And it has a 10-inch screen. So you do actually have a screen. And so maybe it doesn't turn on right away like some of the portable devices, but within 30 seconds, you have a fully functioning copy of Windows XP. You have a 120-gigabyte hard drive, 1 gigabyte of RAM, and all the features that come with Windows XP. You got wireless, so you can connect to your wireless connection or a wired connector if you need that. You have 3 USB ports. You have Bluetooth capability. And all of this with a copy of the System Access screen reader for $399. Now, many of the netbooks themselves are $400, so we're very excited. We feel that we have definitely broke a price barrier because a lot of people don't have the benefit of having state agencies or someone to buy technology for them. So it comes down to us to shell out money out of our own pockets oftentimes. So if you're comfortable with a computer and using screen reading technology but want to get it down in price, that's what we've really strived to do. Now, if any of you are partially sighted, and you have to be fair and realistic, that a 10-inch display and trying to do magnification on it isn't realistic. And so addressing that need, we have a computer that is slightly larger and also by the company called MSI. And it has an 18-inch screen, and the computer and everything's built all into one device. The screen's right in front. All the electronics are in the back, so you set it all on your desktop. You have an 18-inch screen with everything I mentioned, plus a CD-DVD burner and a copy of the System Access screen reader, all for $699. So we're very excited that we have reached these price points so that people can use existing computer technology. And if it's needed, we have a free version of our System Access screen reader because
certainly want to address people in third world countries or people who maybe don't want to use the product but need to. Maybe they need a screen reader. They're at someone else's computer, a library, or they have a situation where even they own the screen reader, but they're at someone else's computer. You can always go to satogo.com, satogo.com, and for free, as long as you don't let it sit there for 20 minutes or more silent, you can continue to use that system access and learn the screen reader, learn the technology. I brought about 10 CDs with me, so if anyone wants an audio CD, we'll be glad to give those out. They explain how to use the products and services, and you can certainly come by booth 52 where you can get your hands on, because there's nothing like getting hands on these devices and getting a feel for them, how they sound, how responsive they are. So that's there. You get, you know, if you buy the System Access screen reader, we give you two copies of it and a portable version that you put on a key, a little USB stick, and that way it's called U3, and that way you can take it up to any computer and make it talk. That's what we're striving for, is this full access. So I know the topic was supposed to be about the benefits of using access technology and why do we want to do that. So we'll talk about what we try to accomplish, what we do with SAMNet, our mobile network. What we've done is put over 1 million resources in one area. So things that blind and low vision persons would be interested in. Sure, you can go out to Google and find this and find that, but we put it all in one place with a wealth of other features. So what SAMNet does is it starts off with giving you 2,000 described movies, almost 10,000 radio stations, thousands of recipes, and it goes on and on. TV shows and direct links to video TV channels if you have any vision or just want to listen to the TV audio on the internet. NASA, we have a lot of people that enjoy that. And historical speeches and sound bites, and just a wealth of what we call content, divided into a couple categories of entertainment or information. So it's either just to amuse you and entertain you or to inform and give you new information that you're seeking. So in addition to that, we have a lot of other features like built-in email. It has its own web browser. You can use it or your own if you want to use Internet Explorer or Firefox. So you have three options. Whatever you prefer, it's always up to you to use what you feel comfortable with. We've added a tool called the Socializer. And what this is for, I don't know how many of you do any kind of messaging or Facebook. Let me ask you, how many of you are either on Facebook or Twitter? Use
Twitter.
Any Twitter? Okay. I love Twitter. I think it's great. So we built this Socializer that lets you connect to Twitter or Facebook, MSN, AOL Instant Messenger, and Yahoo, any one or all of them, as well as chat, not only text, but voice chat with other SAMNet users. We have voice chat technology, and that is so awesome to meet people from all over the USA and even Canada and Sweden, and we have people in Australia, and it's just interesting to talk to people in other parts of the world. We have weekly events that any user can set up, say, hey, I want to meet Monday night and have Christian fellowship. We have a group of people who do that. We have a Thursday night, what they call trash talk. It's not really dirty, but they just kind of have fun and just talk about whatever. They have a ladies' night on Friday. They have a Macintosh chat forum on Friday. They have a book lovers club Saturday. So any user can say, hey, I'm going to meet at Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Come to this chat room if you want to talk about this topic. A lot of people have very interesting, lively discussions, share information. There's no better way than to learn from other people who do the things that we like and have the same interests that we like. And while we streamline all this to make it work with regular computers, we certainly understand that there's a lot of people that have portable devices, like the Victor or the Icon is just demoed. So we have an interface to that that lets you have up to 12 movies at any one time that you can transfer to your Icon, so that when you're on the airplane or going somewhere where you don't have internet connectivity, you can have that material to listen to. It also works with our email. You can get your email messages off our network, and it'll convert whatever voice you're using and copy them onto your Icon or your Braille Plus or your Victor Stream, and you can take them with you. And some people listen to their email actually while they're going to work, and then if something's really important, they can respond, and that helps them make better use of their travel time going to and from the office, or just for pleasure reading, just going outside by the pool or, you know, in the kitchen, having your recipes, whatever you want. So that is the really quick overview. Our CD explains it in a little better detail, shows you how to get started. Anyone could do it. 30-day full evaluation if you go to satogo.com. That's satogo.com. Install the software, play with the network, listen to some movies, talk to other people, you know, try the email out. You automatically have an address, so if your name is Joe Smith, it'd be joesmith@samobile.net, and then also you can set up your third-party email accounts. That way you have the benefit of doing it at your web browser. Great if you travel using someone else's computer where you don't always, you know, you don't want to install a screen reader that might have the video chaining that causes problems. Yeah, we do have support for three of the Braille displays right now. We do kind of like the providers to have what's called the human interface device, so the Alva BC640 and the Braille Connect and the new HandyTech displays all work with that, which means they're plug and play. You plug it in and it just works, and that's the way it should be. That's what we're striving for. It's not this complicated drivers and sign drivers that cause chaos on a computer system. So at this point, I guess we'll take some questions and see what kind of concerns you have about what we're doing.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On the netbook, could you tell us a little bit about what's under the hood and if the state of memory could be expanded or that kind of thing, and what brand?
Okay, the netbook is MSI Wind, and it has 1 gig of memory. It can be expanded to 2 gig, but that particular machine, it should be done. You should probably pay for it to have the vendor do it, because the way it's designed, if you open it up in the back and any of them, and I know as a blind person opening up my Asus, it's a little different from working on a PC because everything's so small and tight, but you can expand it if you want a second gig of memory. 1 gig for most people is enough, but anyway, you have 120 gigabyte hard drive. The processor is what we call an Atom. All of the netbooks use this Atom processor. It is a clock speed of 1.66 gigahertz, and it can do about everything that you need to do. Now, if you're an extreme power user, you know, using things like SoundForge or, you know, video graphics and things of that sort, then you might want, you know, something a little larger scale, a desktop or something, because it will do it, but it gets kind of slow at that point. They're not designed that way. So if all you do is email and internet, maybe listen to some audio and Winamp or something like that, great. It's going to do everything you need. They have two kinds of computers now, the way HP describes it. They call it content consumption and content creation. Well, most of us consume content. We're just watching, you know, some Hulu TV shows or listening to some audio or browsing the web or voice chat. It does have a built-in webcam and microphone, so that's pretty cool. Sighted folks get kind of excited when you can call them up on Skype and they can actually see you and you can talk to them or walk around and show them your house or your apartment or, you know. So
mine's too messy.
Yeah, mine's too messy too. I don't always do that. But so you'd have the mic and the webcam, and like I said, you have Bluetooth, so you want to have a wireless keyboard to take away from it. So that's the spec. It's pretty standard of all of the netbooks. They're all pretty similar, quite honestly. There's some new ones. The other one that I mentioned that costs $699, it has a little bit more power and a CD burner and an 18-inch screen, so great for folks who are partially sighted. We do have built-in magnification that'll go up to 6X, but for most people it meets their needs, unless you're extremely visually impaired, you know, just short of blindness, then yeah, probably you might want something like ZoomText. But you can do the black and white conversion. You can have your browser look a little bit different from the rest of the computer if you need to make sure that that you can see everything that you need to. Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You have the mic, so go ahead, sir.
One of the things that I would really like to be able to do, I've been using two or three different portable players, but I would like to be able to leave a PC turned on all the time and once a day go over and plug a digital player in and say, get me these 6 podcasts and the USA Today and, you know, a couple of newspapers. Is SAMNet something that can help provide that service for me?
Yeah, that works best if you get like an iPod. Get the Nano or something, or CEO Mike Cabo does it all the time. And so really, I mean, at that point, really, it's best to do it with iTunes.
Okay.
We can do it, but it's more of a manual process. Right, you can go to, we have like 50,000 podcasts, and you can go in and right-click and say, send to the device. But if you use something like iTunes, it'll do it automatically. You say, I want this.
Accessible.
Yeah. Well, it's fairly accessible. I would say it's mostly accessible. There's only one or two buttons that I've ever found that I couldn't do in iTunes. It is accessible with System Access and WindowEyes. We do it all the time. I have an iPhone, and I connect it, and I use System Access, and I buy software and add it to the device. download, synchronize all my music, all of my podcasts. I'm able to do everything with it. So System Access does work with iTunes, and that would be the best way to accomplish what you want with an iPod device. If not, you can go through manually and say, okay, I'll take this podcast, hit your right click, your Windows key, and say, if your device is connected, it'll say send to Victor or send to Icon. If it's not, it'll say add to sync list. And then as soon as you connect that device, it'll work. But likewise, if you have an iPod Nano, it will go ahead and install, you know, the speech so you can navigate the menus with whatever voice you're using. So if you have NeoSpeech Kate, that's what you'll get. If you, you know, do it with the Macintosh, you'll have Alex. Or if you do it with our DeckTalk, whatever voice you have active at that time is what it's going to set up to talk and read you that information. And there was a lady? Okay. What was your question, ma'am?
My question is this. I recently bought your software, and I got a netbook. Wish I'd known you were going to have this deal because I would have waited. But anyway, I haven't really started learning how to use it yet, and I guess my question is twofold. Number one, I'm very curious about the Braille displays because when I purchased the item, I was told it only worked with one Braille display, and you've mentioned that there are some others. So you mentioned those quickly, and maybe if you could detail those again a little bit more. And the other question is, do you have any good tutorials or manuals or anything for learning how to use this software? Because this is all going to be very new to me.
Okay, well, the audio CD that I just created last week that I have here goes through the basics of it, and it shows you how to get to our online help that we're always updating. So as far as the help, you hit insert F as in function, and one of the options is H, and you can always hit that. Go into the help. We have separate help for the System Access screen reader and help for the SAMnet and all the different features of it. And this audio CD, which I will give you a copy here today, will help you get up to speed, because some people learn better with audio than just reading and listening to synthesized speech. The other Braille displays we've just added, you know, originally probably when you bought it, the Alva BC640, great unit. Now you have the Braille Connect. So you got the small, if you want a 12 or 18 cell display, something that's really portable. Some people use them with their cell phones and things of that sort.
And Bluetooth, correct?
Right, Bluetooth. So we support USB or Bluetooth. So whichever technology you feel better about. And the newest HandyTech display, I don't know, the model number is escaping me here, but it is 40 cells, and it has USB and Bluetooth. I believe that it sells for, we don't sell it, they sell it for $4,400. You can buy it through HandyTech, which have a U.S. location, of course, in Minnesota. And so you have those options.
And the Braille Connect is through Humanware, is that right?
Yeah. That's what we have right now. You know, we're adding stuff. We just started working with these companies. We've taken the stance that we don't want proprietary drivers. So companies and the industry seems to be understanding that and going to that. So that way you install, you just plug the device in and it works. And so there will be other Braille displays coming shortly, but that's the three that we have right now. Anyone else?
I'm not the salesperson, but I own System Access, and I just have to tell you something he hasn't told you yet, which I think is one of the most exciting features about this product, and that is that you don't have to pay for any upgrades, ever.
Thank you. Two very good points. When you pay that, when you buy the screen reader, you get two licenses for $399 or the third license for the U3 drive for $499. That is lifetime. We have eliminated the software maintenance agreement as of last January. That was our announcement down here at ATIA. So we feel that, you know, you shouldn't have to pay $100 or $200 a year for, you know, sometimes if there's good upgrades that are worth it, but we just don't feel that that should be the case. When you buy most other software, you pay a one-time fee, and you know, and that's yours. The other thing I would mention, so not only do you have lifetime upgrades, but if you decide to become a member of SAMnet, the other feature that people really like is what we have, remote access. So that if you need help with having problems with your computer, or maybe you're kind of a techie and your friend is not, family member, and they need your help, you can remote into their computer and fix whatever issues they're having. and a lot of people like that. But I thank you for mentioning it. There is that our fees are one time. Now, SAMNet is an annual membership, and I will mention that. It's $129 a year or $14.95 a month. And that really supports the screen reader in a sense that we can keep that one price and keep it for free. But also because, obviously, movies and things take a lot of bandwidth on our servers, and we have to recoup the costs for that. But most people really, really love it, and it's paid for itself, the remote access. Some people do it for the movies. Some like the radio stations. We have sorted by country and by musical types. So if you like smooth jazz or bluegrass or some types of music that you're not going to hear over traditional radio, or even if you do like classic rock or oldies or something like that, you can listen to it on here almost commercial-free, maybe one or two commercials an hour instead of 18 minutes an hour. So one time, no SMAs and upgrades. Well, we take a different philosophy. We keep everybody has the latest version. So we do automatic updates. You don't have to worry about it. Once you get it installed, we come out with an update. We send it to you. You get an email and it says, hey, we just installed a new update, and here's what features we've added, or here's what little issues we've fixed. And so everyone has the latest version, and that way, since we're not supporting version 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, that saves us on the man hours of tech support, and we can pass that savings along to you by having no upgrade fees for the screen reader. Thank you very much for mentioning that.
Question here.
Yes.
One question about your movies are they described?
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sorry if I didn't clarify that. They are described movies, and they are just the audio portions of it. They're not video if you have partial sight. These are just the audio, but all are described. We don't post it unless it's a described narrated version. And we have some from the U.S., we have a few from Australia, a lot from the United Kingdom, actually. The U.K. is far ahead of us in terms of described video. They only have 1% of our population, and they do a wealth of described video content and a very good job of it. But yes, all are described.
Okay, one more question, K7. You say that everyone has the same version that you upgrade and then say we upgraded. Does that mean you have access to our computer to make the upgrades and you do it without notification or without the option of saying no thanks, or how does that work?
Well, we would have access to that system access folder to make the upgrades. By default, what it does is when you connect first time of the day on the internet, it calls our server and says, hey, she's running version 68, we're up to version 76, and it sends it to you automatically. I mean, it's secure. It's secure layer, so there's no security or compromise or anything of that form. It's the new form of what's called cloud computing, where the information's kept on the server, and that gives you the ability to go to different computers and yet have access to all of your information. But, so when you log in, it looks, and we see, here's what we have, here's what you have, let's bring you up to the newest version, and then you get an email telling you what's been added. All right, well, I thank everyone, and hope you learned something.
You've been listening to Cerro Talk. Visit us at www.cerrotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerrotalk.com, or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.